And we're going to talk now about tech waste. And if you've got a comment or a question, you are welcome to join in with this as well. As I'm joined by Fevzi Turkalp, the editor of GadgetDetective.com, and he's on Twitter at GadgetDetective. Now, there is a huge mountain, a growing mountain of e-waste, and it's increasing exponentially, we're told. 53.6 million metric tons generated worldwide in just 1 year. What can we do to recycle our old tech? What's the right way to deal with stuff that's got our data on it? If you want some advice, well, we're going to get it now from Fevzi. Good morning, Fevzi.
Morning.
Thanks very much for joining us. So, first of all, let's look at the sort of the worldwide problem. I mean, this is part of the big kind of environmental issue, isn't it? One forgets that there's so much electrical and technical stuff.
Yeah, so it's called e-waste, and interestingly, the UK is responsible for producing the second highest amount of e-waste per person in the world.
No.
You'd have thought, and the worst is not America. You'd have thought it would be America per citizen, as it were. It's actually Norway.
Oh.
Which is, you know, kind of a bit counterintuitive,
because
you think of them as being a bit sort of touchy-feely with Norway, but no, they're bad and we're almost as worse. So, yeah, so it's a big problem because we keep buying this stuff. It isn't designed to last very long either, because, you know, it physically doesn't last very long, or it's got a battery in it which is sealed in, so it's got, you know, 500 or 1,000 recharge cycles, and then, you know, that's pretty much it. And all this stuff is increasingly glued together and designed in such a way as not to be easily recyclable. And, you know, there's a big fight over right to repair as well, you know, where some manufacturers are fighting our right to repair the items that, or have repaired the items that we've purchased and are our property. So all of this comes together to make a big mess, because the problem with e-waste is this: if you were just to put it in your bin, you put it in your wheelie bin, even if you could, you know, get it past the dustman and they actually did take it away, it would just go into landfill, which first of all means it will pollute, because electronic items will bleed all sorts of poisons into the soil. The second thing is that electronic waste or electronic devices are full of valuable items, you know, everything from gold and other you know, metals and precious elements
gold
in there. Oh yeah, I mean, there's a lot of gold gold-plated electrical connections inside everything, and, you know, there are ways of, you know, they tend to sort of, if you recycle them, they sort of macerate the pieces and then use magnets to pull out the ferrous metals and other ways of, they can even sort between different types of plastic using near-infrared light to work out what sort of plastic it is and whether and how it's recyclable. But that's an expensive process, and it's expensive because the manufacturers, when they're designing things, don't put at the, you know, the core of their design philosophy repairability and recyclability. If they keep gluing things shut and sealing batteries and all of this sort of thing. And then there are these other practices. For example, they either do not make spare parts available to third-party repairers, or they control the prices of those third-party parts or the parts to third parties in such a way that it's not cost effective, because if it costs you almost as much to get a replacement main circuit board as it does for the machine, then the manufacturer gets its desired outcome, which is that you buy a new one.
Well, exactly. I mean, I've got, for example, a laptop which I think is in good condition. It must be 4 years old now, and suddenly the battery won't charge anymore. Yeah. Now, it's not just because it's. I think it's more of a fault than that. It's not just that it's gradually got slower and slower. It just is on 0%, and so there must be some kind of fault with it. And I inquired as to whether I could get this fixed, and you can, of course, but it costs about £300.
Yeah.
And is it worth paying £300 to repair the power on a laptop that probably, because it's 4 years old, is probably only worth £400 anyway?
Yeah, if that.
If that,
And the
price. So you're telling me no.
Well, generally not, unless it was a sort of £1,500 laptop to start with, or £2,000. And even then, the problem is, you see, you do a repair, and if it's that expensive, you then have to say, well, but all, you know, the repair is only probably guaranteed for a short period of time, you know, 3 months, 6 months, no more than a year. And the rest of the item will be out of warranty anyway. So it's very difficult. But, you know, there are things that we should do. So you know, we should, I guess, stop buying the latest model of things. Try and make your item last as long as possible. I make a point. My iPhone is now coming up, just about to complete its fifth year. And I have access to all sorts of phones, but I make a point of, you know, buying the best that I can afford at the time, and then using it until I really can't use it anymore.
Yeah.
And I think that, and there's a lot to be said for that, because it's not just about being, you know, green and friendly, but it's also that if we understand our tech well, if we get used to it and know all the ins and outs of it, we can get more out of that tech very often than a brand new item. And I always sort of give an illustration of a camera, and which includes the camera in your phone, by the way. If you learn the camera in your phone, or how to use all the settings of the camera that you have, and you learn a little bit about photography, you will take better pictures with the older camera. It doesn't matter if the newer one has more megapixels or a larger buffer, or, you know, whatever whiz bang feature. It doesn't give you better photographs. What gives you better photographs is knowing your equipment really well. So use it as long as possible, repurpose it. So let's say it's no longer suitable as your main computer, it just can't run the latest operating system, or it's too slow. You can repurpose a computer, for example, for a single task. So instead of being a multitasking thing, just give it one job to do. For example, you can take an old computer, stick Linux operating system on it, or an older version of Windows, which wouldn't then be supported, and then use it as your firewall. Actually have it as a hardware firewall protecting your home network. And you can use this firewall software that you can run. It's all free, and it's a nice project as well. I mean, I know that's not for everybody, but you can use, let's say, an old tablet. You can use it for recipes in the kitchen. It doesn't have to be the whiz-bang or singing and dancing tablet that does everything. You can just use it for that, or just watch it for streaming films in you know, the kids' room or something like that. Or, you know, you can give it, you can hand it down to family members or others. Don't forget, there's a website and a service called FreeCycle, which I think is freecycle.org. It's like recycle, but with the word free at the beginning. And that, basically, you advertise things to give them away, and people make use of them again. You gift it to the family. Don't forget that even broken stuff has a value, and if you sell it on, you know, and I'll mention eBay, Gumtree, Facebook, and Spock. Those are, you know, online platforms where you can sell things, and it's remarkable. Things do have a value. Even when they're broken.
Well, absolutely, and you can do other stuff with them, as you say. John in Croydon's just texted to say, Clive, good morning. If it's a MacBook, then it's worth putting a new battery in. I did it with mine, which I think is probably true, unless it's a really old MacBook. And I agree with you about the phones, Fevzy. Mine is just coming up for about 5 years, but it really is on its last legs now. And it's the battery thing that's always the problem. When you get a new phone, it lasts all day or 2 days. Now, I can go out to the shops, and it's already gone down to 50%.
Well, I changed my battery sort of 2.5 years in, and now the replaced battery only achieves 80% of what it used to. So on a busy day, I'll do 240% of a full battery, so almost 2.5 full batteries on a full day. But then that would still be about 2, even when it was a brand new battery, because I just make heavy use of my phone. But that's fine, you know, especially these days, you know, never far away from a charger. So it's not a problem for me. I have a great tip for you that most people won't realize about how to get rid of stuff if you really do need to get it recycled. So, of course, you can, you know, take it down to your local recycling center, although some of them are working by appointment only now because of COVID, which is a bit bizarre given that they're outdoor facilities, but there we are. But a lot of people don't realize that retailers and distributors of electronic equipment and almost any electronic gadget are responsible. When you buy a new gadget, they are responsible for taking back free of charge the old gadget that you're replacing. So let's say, for example, you bought a DVD player, but you have an old VHS video recorder. They have to take it back. They don't have to have sold it.
Yeah. Really? They keep that very quiet?
Yes, they do. And I found the page on Amazon tonight as well, which is there, and I'm very well acquainted with the Amazon website. I couldn't find any links to it. I'm sure there are links to it somewhere in a convoluted series of clicks off the homepage, but I actually had to Google for it and find it that way. But what the law says is to retailers and distributors, and this is on the government website, I'll read it verbatim, you must offer to take back waste of the same type as the item your customer buys from you, regardless of whether they buy in store, online, or mail order, and regardless of the brand of the item. You must take back items that have the same function. You get 28 days to return it, and they must provide it free of charge, either in store, if there are a retail store, or they, like Amazon, have got a number of companies that they link to on their website. The key term is take back. So if you look up retailer take back, you will find it on the government website, and if you stick Amazon on, you'll find theirs as well. They must take back all types of electrical and electronic equipment that you sell, and they can and they must advertise the fact. So if it's a store, they're meant to have posters up. If it's a website, it's meant to be on their website. And it's I'm going to do it as an experiment, because actually I had some knowledge of this, but I wasn't really thinking about it very much. So I buy things from Amazon all the time.
So you're going to send something back to them?
I don't know yet, because I've bought so much. It has to be something of a similar nature, so maybe I'll send them a sort of a wax cylinder phonogram or something, but I'll find out. But you don't send it directly back to Amazon. In their case, they use companies that do it, and there's about five or six of them named there. But it's a legal responsibility that they have to do it. And it's important, because, I'm thinking, and I don't know, I'm not aware of any exceptions to this, because I've been charged to take back, when I've bought a new tumble dryer or fridge or something like that, I've been charged to take the old one away.
Oh, yeah, so have I. 50 quid sometimes to take away an old washing machine or something.
Exactly, and there's all sorts of bills.
So are you telling me that they have a responsibility to take it away?
It looks like it, because I don't see any exceptions to this. Or it has to be of a similar type of item. So if you buy a new fridge or a new tumble dryer, I stand to be corrected, but my reading of the government website is that they have to do it.
Is this a new rule?
I don't think it is. It's been around for quite a number of years. I think the other thing is that, so this deals with retailers and distributors, but I think we also have to turn our attention to the manufacturers, and there has to be some pressure put on them, both morally and I would suggest legally as well, that in essence, manufacturers should be responsible for the items that they sell you for the whole life cycle of the item. So in other words, when it's no longer usable.
If they were responsible, they might produce things that weren't quite so throwaway.
Yeah, and they might not fight us in the courts over the right to repair as well. And, I don't want to mention particular companies, but all the big ones seem to be resisting this. And, because it hits their bottom line. But I think if there is a responsibility on them to deal with the waste that they are creating effectively by producing things, and particularly producing them in a way that's not easily recyclable or repairable, then it would suddenly become cheaper for them to design things that are recyclable and repairable than deal with the cost of that which is not. And don't forget, a lot of, even when we send things for recycling, the large chunk of what we send for recycling goes abroad. And unfortunately, a lot of it goes to, countries where, the labour laws are not as strong, and you get, villages in India with children picking apart dangerous components and so forth. And, it happens when some of these items are mined in certain countries, under poor circumstances, unsafe circumstances with child labour, and then it happens at the end of the life of the item, when the items are literally picked apart by by children working for very small. So, you know, there's also, which brings us back to the fact of why it's important to just keep using the items for as long as you can. And don't, you know, and I know I love my gadgets, but don't buy stuff unnecessarily. Try not to buy stuff that you don't need. Keep off the deals websites, or at least use them to alert you when something that you actually want to buy becomes goes on offer. Don't just buy things because it's cheap. You know, there's the expression, it would have been rude not to buy it because the price was so low. But actually, you know, we have to contain ourselves a little bit because it's a huge, huge problem, you know.
Oh, definitely. Favesy, can you hang on a moment? Because sure. I've got a few questions I want to throw at you that have come in on the text.
Yep.
Don't go away. We'll come back with Favesy Turkalp and some more e-waste comments and questions in a moment here on LBC.
This is LBC with Clive Bull.
Talking about e-waste, as they call it at the moment, all your old tech that maybe could be or should be thrown away. Favesy Turkalp's here, editor of Gadget Detective. Couple of comments. First of all, Gareth says, e-waste, Clive. I'm still using a 15-year-old Windows laptop for certain tasks. I've fixed it and upgraded it myself over the years, and it's served me well. £300 for a battery replacement is not right. Look into compatibles. Well, that was a bit pricey, but I think it's because it isn't just the battery. I think I've blown it up somehow. Yeah. Shane in Sydney says, hi, Clive. I always keep my last mobile phone. When I buy a new one, I keep it as an emergency, just in case something happens to the new one. That's a good point, isn't it?
Yeah. And you can also use them as Wi-Fi hotspots as well. So, or you can repurpose it as a sat-nav, for example.
Right.
Just, you know, keep it just as a sat-nav. And the joy of that is, of course, because running a sat-nav app actually tends to drain the battery, you know, the actual charge in your battery quite quickly. So if you're using your main phone as your in-car sat-nav, then, you know, you have to keep it topped up. Whereas if you repurpose your old phone for that, then you don't. You know?
Fiona in Brighton's got a question as well, and I think this is actually very relevant. She says, I have a couple of old laptops that have just died, but I've held on to them because I'm worried about personal data on them.
Yeah.
What is the safest way to dispose?
Right. Well, so this is a good question, because just reformatting the disk doesn't delete the information on it. And the problem is very often that by the time you want to get rid of it, the item doesn't work properly. It might not even power up if the battery's died and, you know, so forth. So there are a couple of options. You can, if the machine is still working, run a free piece of software on there which will wipe everything, and it's sort of what they call a Department of Defense wipe, which is, you know, the American DOD, which essentially so when you erase something normally on a hard drive, you're not actually erasing the data, you're erasing the reference to the data, the index. So imagine if you had a book, it's erasing a book electronically would be the equivalent of tearing out the index pages. It might make the data more difficult to find, but it's all still there.
It's still there.
So
right.
What you need to do is have a soft piece of software write over every bit, literally every binary digit on there repeatedly, zeros and ones randomly. Now, there's various software that does it. One free piece of software is called Kill Disk with a K. And that runs, the free version is quite adequate. So you can do that. If the machine doesn't work, you can, if you're able to, take the hard drive out of the disk and attach it to another computer and wipe it as an ancillary disk. You can connect it via the internal interface or put a USB adapter on it and plug it in as an external drive. Failing that, if you really can't do that, then worst case is you remove the hard drive or the SSD and keep that element of it. At least it's less bulky.
And then what do you do if you've got I've got old hard drives that used to plug in and I don't want to do anything with it. Could you just smash them up?
Yeah, you can put nails through them. but you need to wear goggles before you do that. I mean, the best thing is to try and delete them. Technically, it is possible, you know, if you're a government and they really are interested in you, it is even possible to get stuff back from drives that have been properly erased. So, you know, physical destruction is the ultimate. Some people put them into high magnetic fields, but other people put nails through them. You know, I tend not to worry about it too much. I personally just run, you know, something like Kill Disc on it a few times, let it run overnight even, and then I'm happy to let it go in that condition. The other thing is to if it's a portable device, to go back to factory settings, you know, to reset to factory settings. But before you do it, log out of any account. So if, let's say it's an iPhone or an iPad, you log out of iCloud and come out of Find My iPhone as well. So just log out of the various services and then go back to factory settings, and you can do that a couple of times, and you have to hope that that's enough. And you know, even if technically it's possible to recover the data after that, you know, it's not a cheap or easy process to do that. So you would have to be a person of interest, you know, for someone to go right to that length.
I've got a question from Zora here. She says, how do you delete apps from a smartphone? All the advice she's found online is out of date.
Okay. Well, it depends on the smartphone, but it can be as simple. If it's an iPhone, you press and hold your finger on the screen where the icon is of the app you want to delete. They start wobbling, a little X comes in the corner, you hit the X and it actually deletes the phone. You can also do it through the storage settings on the phone as well. If you go to settings, storage, and then you can see all the apps that are installed.
I don't know whether she got an Apple or what if it's an Android?
It's a similar process. You just go through the settings and you'll find, the best thing is to go to the storage area where it shows you all the apps in order of the amount of storage that they're consuming, because that can be one of the reasons why you want to delete an app, and then just delete it from there. You'll get a list and you just select which ones you want to delete, and it goes. It does vary. I mean, and Zora's quite right, because even from Android version to Android version, these things change, you know. So if anything, you know, if you can't find it, Google against the version of Android that you've got. Yeah, so if you've got, you know, Android Marshmallow or whatever, then put in Android Marshmallow and then put delete app, and then you'll find the specific instructions, because the essential task is the same, but the way you navigate the settings and the menus to get to it, it does vary from version to version.
Darius from Sunbury says, could you ask your guest if it's possible to recover, this is round the other way, deleted files from a very old hard drive? They've been removed from the recycle bin too, but they're very valuable old family photos.
Yeah.
We've lost the backup hard drive, unfortunately. Is there any way of doing it, do you think?
Yeah, so there are, I mean, there are companies that charge fortunes for this, but... So the first thing to say is stop using the device, because although I said to you that, you know, erasing or deleting a file doesn't physically delete it, what it does do is mark that area of the storage as available, which means that something else could overwrite it, in which case you would probably lose at least part of your data. So you need to stop using it. Now, there is a piece of software from the people that, there's a very popular piece of software called CCleaner, which I always recommend the free version of. The people who make CCleaner also make a piece of software called Recover, which is spelled R-E-C-U-V-A. Okay, and it does what it says. It tries to recover. Okay.
Recover
deleted,
with C-U-V-A instead of the proper cover.
Who'd have thought it, yeah. But also there's one called Get Data Back, which is not free, but it does have a free version that will tell you what it can recover before you decide whether or not to pay for the software. And then there are specialist services which then run into hundreds and thousands of pounds, but depending on what you've lost, the contents of a hard drive can easily exceed that as well. So and the preemptive thing, and not wishing to be clever about it, and I've certainly been caught out myself, is to have up-to-date backups and more than one of them in different locations, so that if you do accidentally delete data, that it's not a complete loss. And by the way, that helps protect you against ransomware, which is a type of virus that infects a computer and then encrypts, that's to say scrambles all your data, and then tries to ransom it back to you. If you have a backup of it, then you don't have to pay the ransom.
And one other unrelated question we were talking about earlier on is, Is there a character limit in a text message?
Yeah, so the way text messages work is, yes, there is.
You started the music, so you've got 60 seconds.
Oh, plenty. So what they do is they concatenate a number of text messages together, but that's a software trick. So if the software is not designed to allow concatenation of an indefinite number of messages, then you find that the messages can be truncated because there is a limit. I forget what the actual limit is, but there is a limit, just as there is on Twitter. But it just appears that there isn't because it uses multiple packets and joins them together.
Well done. You've hit your limit. Thank you very much indeed. Fevzi Turkout, much appreciated, from @GadgetDetective on Twitter.